audio is such a powerful format because it provides the concept of passive consumption and allows you to tell a much deeper story. They can do it while they're driving in the car, while they're doing laundry, going to the gym. And that's when the light bulb kind of turned off for me that podcast was really going to be a thing. Hey, I'm Adam Stoker. I'm really excited to be here. For those of you that have only heard my podcast, it's called the Destination Marketing Podcast. If you're disappointed with what you're actually seeing in person, there's not much I can do, but it's the reason I did a podcast, right? If you're familiar with the term hat fishing, it's where you look good with a hat, but not necessarily without one. So it's like catfishing, but with a hat. I've been accused of that a few times, which is why I'm wearing the hat here today. So like she mentioned, I'm Adam Stoker, president and CEO of Relic, and also the host of the Destination Marketing Podcast. And we created over the last couple of years the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, where we have really tried to pioneer the idea of destinations using audio as a format to promote their destinations and to build an audience. And I've got a couple of my colleagues here who have done a great job of doing just that, of starting podcasts for their destinations and using those podcasts as part of their marketing strategy. And so I think it'll be a fun conversation today. I'd love, first of all, Malia, for you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, I'm Malia Hames. I'm social media manager for Alabama Mountain Lakes Tourist Association. It's Visit North Alabama on social for a reason, because it's shorter. and I have been with Alabama Mountain Lakes for 12 years, and we recently started our podcast in September, October, I believe. So,
awesome. Thanks, Malia. Stuart?
Thanks, Alex. Adam.
I'll go by whatever.
Yeah. So I'm Stuart Butler. I'm the CMO of Visit Myrtle Beach. I've only been in that role for about a year, just hit my anniversary. So don't know many people in the industry yet, but so come tell me hey afterwards. I need friends. So we only just launched our first podcast as a DMO a couple of weeks ago, but before I came to the dark side. Is it the dark side or the light side? I was on the agency side before, so you pick your poison. I ran a digital agency, and much like Adam, we had a podcast for 5 or 6 years. And by the time we sold the agency and I left, it was the number one podcast in the hotel industry. So it was a fun 5 years.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about, even though Stuart's really early in the Myrtle Beach podcast journey, we'll talk a little bit about his vision and where it's headed today, because I think that's an important part of the conversation. I guess my first question for both of you, why a podcast? What is it about the concept of a podcast that made you decide, yeah, this is something we want to try?
Well, podcasts have increasingly become more popular over the years, and I remember when you came to Decatur to do one of your podcasts, and we had some of our local stakeholders on that. And I remember you approached me then, and I'm thinking, I don't know, it's so far out of my comfort zone, which this is out of my comfort zone as well, just so you know. And then I remember my boss said one day, like months later, you know, I think we should start a podcast. And I kind of felt like we needed to, but you know, I was just hesitant in like, okay, I know I'm going to have to be the host here. And so anyway, we just decided that it would be good to reach a different audience to attract visitors to our destination.
Great. All right, Stuart.
Yeah. So I've been a podcast consumer for a long time. I think I really started consuming podcasts right when Serial came out and hit big. So what was it, almost 10 years ago now. In podcasts went from being something you heard about but didn't really know about to really mainstream. I'd actually dabbled with a personal podcast before that, but there wasn't a platform. There wasn't a podcast app or anything like that, so it was hard to get audience. But one of the things that I really have enjoyed as a consumer podcast is it's a very intimate format. Like you actually get to feel like you're part of the conversation. You get to feel like the people that are talking a part of your family or part of your tribe. And so I think for destinations especially, that's a real, really big opportunity because you can connect with people on a different level than you can in traditional digital formats. So it is definitely about finding a different audience, but it's also about really more importantly, having a conversation with people and forming a much deeper relationship with your consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 years ago when I started my show, I didn't really have any idea. I wasn't a big podcast listener. You know, the gateway drug is true crime, like you said, Serial, right? And so that's where I had started. I had done some sports podcasts. And as I got into it, what I realized is that audio is such a powerful format because it provides the concept of passive consumption. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're planning a trip on a destination website, I would call that active consumption. You have to be sitting down at your computer and reading through all that content that we spent so much money to have written and put together. And the reality is that not many people are taking the time to read all of that content. But audio as a format allows you to do it in a passive way and allows you to tell a much deeper story. They can do it while they're driving in the car, while they're doing laundry, going to the gym. And that's when the light bulb kind of turned off for me that podcast was really going to be a thing. And then COVID hit. And it's like podcasts had this resurgence, right? That really I think opened the door for so many organizations who hadn't thought about a podcast to actually get into it. And so as we talk about the concept of passive listening or passive consumption, how does that play into what you've decided to do with your podcast strategy? Why are you telling your story through this format?
Well, you're 100% right. It's a very different relationship because it's passive, but it's also selective. People are very discerning about how they spend their time. And a lot of times podcasts are consumed at the same time as doing something else. Like I personally, I'm usually listening to podcasts when I'm running or doing housework or stuff like that. So, but I have a finite amount of that time. And so I'm really selective about what I listen to. And so I think where that plays into our strategy is, and I realized this when we did our podcast, the reason it became the number one in the hotel industry wasn't because we had the best information or the best advice or the best interviews. It was because we were the most entertaining. And I think for podcasts as a format, DMOs really have to embrace that side of it. Like there's very few people are going to choose your podcast over This American Life or My Favorite Murder or Joe Rogan Experience or these big behemoths that are really entertaining. They're not going to choose to listen to a candy shop in your destination unless you're doing it in a way that actually interests them and is entertaining. So our strategy is more about how do we entertain first and educate second? How do we develop a relationship with these people? And so what that really means is we're leaning into becoming a lifestyle brand and less of a DMO. And so we're doing that through the branded content, but with the content is so high in the funnel that it's less talking about Myrtle Beach. It's more connecting with someone on something that they're interested in. And then it's a Trojan horse that sells them on Myrtle Beach secondarily. That's our approach.
Yeah, Malia, before you jump in, I want to actually respond to that. This is one of the reasons that I felt like Stuart and Malia would be a couple of great examples to have here on the panel today, because Stuart is the CMO of Visit Myrtle Beach, a massive destination with maybe comparatively a little bit larger budget than a lot of destinations have, right? And then Malia is from a small destination in North Alabama. And so the way they're using the format is completely different. And so that's where, Malia, I'd love to have you maybe chime in with how you're using the format. Stuart talked about this concept of branded entertainment that I want to come back to, where it's entertainment first and then the Trojan horse method of plugging Myrtle Beach. How are you guys doing it?
Well, kind of can I answer or Absolutely. Respond to him really quickly? And it kind of answers your question as well. But again, you know, we were looking for a newer audience, a younger audience than what we've typically had on social media and our website. And at the beginning, my strategy was, you know, highlight the places in North Alabama. It's called Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, because the more I talk to people are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that was there. I had no idea this was there. So, you know, in our onboarding, you know, we decided to name it that. And so in the beginning it was, okay, let's just highlight these things. But then I found, like Stuart said, that, you know, having those conversations and those episodes that I've done where it's been like a conversation, like it's just like picking up a phone and, you know, you're talking to your friend on it. And I have been trying to pull out people now and kind of focus on not just the destination or not just the, you know, attraction or event or whatever in that, you know, in the episode, but also the people behind that. So it's kind of, I guess, shifted. Our strategy shifted a little bit as we've gone on. Yeah. So.
Which I think is a good thing, right? Yeah. The show kind of takes on a personality of its own as you go.
Yeah.
What has highlighting these stakeholders done for the stakeholder engagement portion of your role at the destination?
I mean, they love it. Of course, they love anything additional that we can give them to get their name out there. And we keep track of all of that of, okay, you were mentioned, you know, after each episode, I write down, you know, I mentioned this, 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 and this. So it adds into, you know, providing that value to our stakeholders. But, and I think it's good too for them that they, again, you know, I keep harping on this, but that different, you know, newer audience out there.
Yeah. For me, I know that stakeholders, and none of you have felt this, I'm sure, but every once in a while I can be like, what have you done for me lately? Right. That's none of you have ever felt that, but podcasts and having them as a guest on the podcast is a really, really tangible way to provide value when in some destinations, and I know there's a lot of amazing data resources out there in the industry right now, but some destinations don't have those data resources. But to provide the tangible value of having a stakeholder as a guest on the show, they can go show people that and they hear themselves talk, and it usually, you know, goes over really well for stakeholders.
They remember that.
And I think that's really important, right? Because there's two ways you can look at the content you're producing, but it depends on the audience you're trying to talk to. And I would suggest that a lot of the podcasts that have been created in our space thus far have been more targeted at the local audience, which is a great thing to do, right? Because obviously that local stakeholder engagement and pro-tourism in your destination is really important. I don't think it's possible, at least I haven't seen anyone do it successfully, where you can really talk to that local audience and attract at a large scale an external audience, because the value proposition is different for them. What they're looking for is different. So I think it's perfectly acceptable for a lot of DMOs to do what they're doing, and they're doing a great job. But I wouldn't suggest trying to make it something it's not. Like, know your lane. Say, my audience is my local stakeholders. Maybe I do a second podcast that's talking to the external ones, but you know, if I'm talking to a bunch of local businesses, and I'll say Murrells Inlet because it's in my geographic region and I'm not picking on anyone else. So in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, there's not a person in this room that's going to choose to listen to that podcast repeatedly and become a part of that consistent audience unless they have a reason to do it, unless they have a tether to Murrells Inlet, unless I make it entertaining and valuable in some other derivative way.
I think that's one of the reasons, Stuart, that I wanted to have this conversation with you today, because we've talked a lot about the concept of branded entertainment, where we're going to entertain first, and then of course we'll sprinkle in the destination as we go. One of the ways that you've done that is this brand new podcast that you've launched called Myrtle Moms and Margaritas. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you're using that strategy?
So let me back up a little bit first. So my opinion is, And you can agree or disagree with this, but this is how my brain works. Over time, it's getting more and more expensive to pay to reach an audience, right? A lot of our money goes to places like Google and Facebook and maybe the OTAs, but it's paid media. And over time, that gets more expensive. It's just natural. And over time, because of privacy regulations, because of a fragmentation of media consumption, that audience is getting smaller or less targeted. So if you follow that logic through, every year that you do this job, fast forward 30 years now, it's going to be 30 years more expensive, and you're going to have a 30 years fewer, smaller, less qualified audience, right? So it's madness to assume that this is sustainable long term. So we have to, as an entity, as an industry, we have to say, okay, what's next? How do we reach the audience in a more organic way? I think the way to do that is to shift budget, tangible amounts of your budget, from paid media to owned media. I think everyone should be doing that if they're not. And the owned media you should be investing in should be focused on building audience. And audience that you can repeatedly talk to at no cost. Right now we're leasing ground on Expedia and Google and Facebook, but we don't own that ground. Like, we're building, or we're renting the house. You could argue that your organic Facebook page is you own the house, but you don't own the land that it's on. We need to invest in real estate that we own, we control, and where we can communicate with the audience. So that's sort of where we start. So with that mindset, what we're doing with the Myrtle Mums with Margaritas podcast is we said, how do we talk to an audience about something they deeply care about in an entertaining way that's way high in the funnel and where someone doesn't necessarily have to give two hoots about Myrtle Beach, right? Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, what's a good one to start with? Well, we said moms. Being a mom is a thing that's universal. Even if you're not a mom, you probably have experienced a mom somewhere in your life, right? So
probably,
and even if you're not a mom, you may want to understand how moms think, because as a dad, it's an interesting show to me too. So we said, let's start with that as an audience. Let's get two of our team members who are moms of young kids. One of them, and this is purely serendipitous, just found out she was pregnant. So in the second episode. So now it's going to be about pregnancy too, but we're going to build an audience at a very high level of the funnel about people that are doing the same thing that every mom universally is going to experience, that happens to be in Myrtle Beach, happens to drip in information about Myrtle Beach. Sometimes the episodes are recorded in a restaurant in Myrtle Beach, and they may talk about it a little bit, and they may be drinking a margarita or now a virgin margarita. But in the show, over time, people are going to get to know them and trust them, and they're going to have influence on future decisions. And we'll run ads at the end of the show to promote Myrtle Beach a little more aggressively, but it's not about selling, it's about audience building. And if we can build an audience that's captivated, over time, we can sell to them and we can invite them to our destination, and then they'll feel a tighter brand affinity to our destination and they'll come back more and more frequently. It is a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
Long-term strategy. It's not, you're not going to build that audience overnight. You're not going to have great success in terms of how many people show up tomorrow, but over the next 5, 10, 20 years, we think we're going to move the needle significantly with that kind of approach.
I think that demonstrates a great understanding of the marketing funnel, right? Awareness, consideration, and purchase. You're going to reach these people when they're not planning a trip. Mm-hmm. They're going to build a relationship with these moms that are just communicating and telling stories and building relationships with the audience. But then when it comes time to plan a trip, that relationship comes in handy, right? And I really like how you're using that. You touched on something that I think is really critical. There's three types of media. Some would argue that there's a fourth, which is shared, but we'll talk about the three that I think are the most important. So first, you've mentioned owned, which I think is really important. Paid, which is where we're leasing access to someone else's audience. I own an advertising agency. There is a place for paid media, right? This is not a pitch to abandon paid media completely. And then there's earned media, which is through your public relations efforts and other efforts related to that. If you're not nurturing those three types of media, then there's a hole in your plan. And what we're looking at here is a way to build an owned audience. And if you have the correct long-term strategy over time, building that audience will allow you to not be so reliant on other people's audiences long-term. I thought you articulated that really well. So.
Yeah, early on, before you coined the term branded entertainment, or at least that's, you were the first person I heard that said it, I was referring to what we were doing as valued media. So it's sort of an extension of that owned media, but it's media that people actually value consuming. So it can manifest in paid, and it will inevitably manifest and earned as well, but it starts at owned. And I'm not suggesting, I want to be clear, I'm not suggesting the majority of your budget should go into owned media. What I'm suggesting is some of what you're spending on paid right now should shift incrementally. You know, you don't want to upset the stakeholders and break the system you've created over dozens of years, but gradually each year you should move some of the money from this pocket over here of paid media into owned media.
Great. Thank you. So Malia, you have a smaller team and, you know, you wear a lot of hats on your own. Tell me a little bit about the nuts and bolts of creating your podcast and the different responsibilities that go in. Like, how did you get it off the ground?
Well, a small team, it's me. I do the social media, the blogs, the podcasts, all of that. So, and that was one thing that I was kind of hesitant about because, I mean, everyone's plate is already full enough as it is. And I thought, oh goodness, you know, here we go with, with one more thing to do, even though I wanted to do it. But I will say it's been going from being hesitant to now I'm just, you know, always wanting to talk about it and, you know, just getting it off the ground. I feel like your team was amazing. He didn't pay me to say this at all. but your team really has been amazing. You know, just that first initial meeting, it resolved a lot of my fears that I had of, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to handle this? Am I going to be able to have content? And which now I think, why did I ever worry about content? I mean, we've got 16 counties in our region. I'm thinking, why did I ever worry about having enough content? I'd actually have too much content. But it has been, you know, an amazing experience of just having, you know, the organization of your staff, of getting everything together and helping me out with outlines. And so it's been a very pleasant experience of getting it off the ground.
So what do you do on your own versus what you rely on the team on my side to do?
They send the outline to me. Of course, I've sent them, you know, information, like where to find the information, and then they'll put an outline together for me. And of course, I do tweak it. And I've learned over the process of doing this, if I have problems with transitions when I'm under pressure. So I would write out my transitions and, you know, try not to read it to where it's, you know, like, thank you for joining, you know, try to make it sound lively. But if I have that in front of me as, you know, a reminder of, okay, this is what I wanted to say to connect the thoughts, the dots there. But yeah, y'all do the outline for me. You do my social media graphics, which are amazing. And, I find the guests, of course, the content and the guests.
So you arrange the guests. Mm-hmm. We kind of collaborate on the outline, and then you obviously show up and do the recording. Yep. And then we handle the production, editing, and distribution.
Yes.
After that. Yep. Okay. Now, Stuart, what does your team look like to execute on some of these? Because we talked about one show, the Myrtle Moms and Margaritas. We have several in the pipeline. So what does your team look like to be able to execute on this?
Yeah, well, we're very fortunate in that we have ample resources. You know, I have a team of 8 people that work directly for me. And then, you know, we're a CVB and a Chamber of Commerce. So we have 40 plus employees total within the organization. And, you know, we have a healthy budget. So I'll talk a little bit about us, but then I want to touch on what we did before at Fuel, my previous agency, because it was sort of the opposite. So we're very fortunate in that we can figure out how to resource any project that we really want to. And I fully understand, how blessed we are to be in that position. What we're trying to create is essentially a media company within our DMO. And it's not just podcasting. It's YouTube channels. It's TV shows. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So we had to have the conversation, what makes sense for us to do internally versus what makes sense for us to hire experts to do. The happy medium we've structured right now, which is working great for us, is we are sort of the architects of the concepts, like why does this exist, who's the audience, what's the name look like, and then we collaborate with your team on that to make sure we're not, you know, we're considering all our, you know, all the options. And then we record, produce, and then we're still kind of in this gray area right now where we're editing some of them. Your team's editing some. You guys have trained our team a lot on how to publish and things like that. I think what we'll get to, because we've probably got 5 shows that will launch between now and the end of the year, I think where we'll end up as a sweet spot is we'll be recording and shipping them off to you to edit, publish. So you're sort of doing that laborious work that our team doesn't find as enjoyable, and we can pay you guys to do that. And I realize the vast majority of DMOs are not in that situation where they can do 5 shows and do that. But what I will say is anyone can podcast. So my previous career, we were a small digital agency for the hotel space called Fuel Travel. And we wanted to find an audience. We wanted to make a name for ourselves in the DMO world. And so we literally, our budget for our podcast was $80. We went and bought a Yeti microphone off of Amazon for $80 and put it in the middle of a circular table. And 4 of us, the 4 co-hosts, sat around and just had conversations about real tangible tactical things that hotels could do to improve their digital marketing. And that was it. In the first dozen or so episodes were rough. They were really, we had no idea what we were doing. I'd gone on Google for like an hour and figured out how to record a podcast, how to edit in GarageBand, where to publish, how to get it syndicated. Like Google, I don't know if you've ever heard of this website, G-O-O-G-L-E, it's amazing.
Familiar with that.
You literally can type in any question and it will give you an answer. And often there's a video that shows you exactly how to do the thing you're trying to figure out. It's amazing. Everyone should use it. But that was what we did. We were just really scrappy, right? We just said, we'll figure this out. We have no budget to do this. $80 was it. And so any DMO can go and do that thing. Every single podcast starts sucks to start with. Like the first couple of episodes are not great because you're self-conscious. You're pretending to be a presenter, right? You put on this fake radio voice. You overread. It's stuffy. That's not what podcasts are. Podcasts are conversations like this, right? You want the audience to be a part of that conversation. The more natural, the more unscripted, certainly have a framework and the beats of a show, know what you're going to hit on, just like this conversation, we sort of knew the outline, right? Mm-hmm. Embrace where it goes and have fun. Like, and it doesn't have to cost. Now, I will admit, after $80 and about 50 episodes in, 30 episodes in, and we started getting an audience, we felt like we should up the production budget. So we went and blew our budget and spent an extra $500 on better microphones. So $600 total is all we invested, and we had the number one podcast in the hotel industry. You know, so you don't have to break the budget. It doesn't have to be a ton. If you're small and you can't afford to hire the experts, just go figure it out. Like it's a couple of hours a week. Like choose to put your time into that instead of something else, you know?
Yeah.
Invest in the long-term success.
One of the newer trends that I'm seeing too, and I think this speaks to the success you had with your podcast at Fuel before you came to Myrtle Beach. People are using these podcast platforms like a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to consume the content mm-hmm. in the format they want to consume it in. Mm-hmm. And so, which was a real circular sentence that I just said, but I think you get the gist of what I was trying to say. They're typing keywords into these different, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and they're seeing what pops up. And you know, you don't even have to, in some cases, have major paid promotion behind your podcast in order to make it successful, because people are already searching for those keywords. The Destination Marketing Podcast, there's only 10,000 or so people such as yourselves in this room in the country, and we've got 60,000 downloads on that podcast from people that found it organically, because the only place where we've advertised it is here on stage through our email list, or just through the organic search function. And so people are typing your same as your SEO keywords that you're optimizing for on your website. People are searching for those keywords on podcast platforms now, which is an interesting.
That's how I found you. You know, when I moved into the DMOs, when I came to the light side, we'll call it that. When I came to the light side, one of the first things I did, because I have terrible vision. I don't read a ton, so I'd listen to a lot to educate myself. The first thing I did was went and looked for DMO podcasts. You know, I found like Bill Geist, I found yours, there was a couple of others as well. But that, you know, I mean, it works. That's how people consume.
Yeah, Nicole at Destination on the Left also has a great show. Mm-hmm. If any of you haven't heard it, you should check that out as well. Okay, Malia, what have you learned over the last, you know, several months as you've been building your show? What have you learned?
Podcasts are fun. and like Stuart said, you know, there's no need to be afraid. You know, just know going into it. I mean, yeah, I know my first couple of episodes probably sounded like I was reading a script like this, you know. But yeah, it's fun. And I absolutely love doing it because, like I said, I've kind of shifted, you know, trying to draw out some of the people in the destinations. For example, we've got a mural trail. And so I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to get some of the mural artists to come on. And I had a guy who was originally from Decatur, and he'd done a couple of murals in Decatur and Athens. And he told the stories about behind those murals. And, you know, one was about a sister who had passed away. And that was the one that was the most like, just like a conversation. It was amazing. I mean, when I got through with that podcast, I thought, this is what I want every one of them to be like. And it was probably episode 17, maybe 16, 17. So it took me a little while, I guess, to get to that point. But after that conversation, I thought, this is the direction I want to go now, of trying to make it more like that every time.
I love that. And yeah. And the relationship that the artist behind these murals, yes, can build with the audience,
yep,
through an audio format where they're not just reading these flat words on a page.
Yep.
What a cool episode.
Yeah, because we're still highlighting the mural trail. We're still saying, you know, hey, he did this one, he did this one, and, you know, you can go see these. But it's really cool that, you know, the stories behind that. And I've got another mural artist scheduled coming up soon, so I can't wait to have her on and learn. You know, and he talked about his process, which was very interesting. So it was really neat.
I love that. So I feel like every destination has a comprehensive story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole story.
Yeah.
And with the pod, you're never going to tell the whole thing. But with a podcast, you can tell chapters, bits,
yep,
and pieces of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And going deep on some of these murals, something that would be very difficult to do in another format. I like that.
And it has more meaning when you go and see it, because then you're like, oh, I know. You don't wonder, you know, I wonder who this person is in this mural, or I wonder what this is about. You know, you know that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd expand on that a little bit and maybe politely push back a little bit on that statement from Adam. I don't think it's our story. I think we're storytellers. Like the DMO's role is to tell the stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the protagonist of the story. Right? It's the audience and the people that make up the community, I think, are the protagonists. And so what I've found is always more effective is when you talk less about yourself as a destination and try to connect with people on a level where they can see themselves in that story. Right? That tends to be, I think, the types of podcasts that people are going to gravitate towards, and why things like true crime dominate podcasts, because it's, you know, it's a story that people can connect with on a personal level. So,
yeah, I think that's fair. Like, features tell, benefits sell, mm-hmm, right? And if all we do is talk about the features of our destination, we're not going to sell our destination. Right?
Yeah, for sure. But we are in a unique position to facilitate the storytelling. So our job is, you know, one, to identify who the audience is that we want to talk to in a podcast. Two, identify what the why is of the show. Like, what's the hook? What's the unique value proposition or the differentiator that will keep someone interested in coming back? And there's a million bazillion whys that could exist. You've got to choose something that is organic and authentic to your destination. And then you've just got to go out and try it and be fearless and be afraid to don't be afraid to fail. There's zero stakes, because at the beginning of starting a podcast, the hardest part is just recording and publish on that first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, the worst thing that can happen is no one listens. So you're in the same position you were before. So I've talked to a lot of folks in this space in the last year, and a lot of like, yeah, we want to start a podcast. We've been talking about starting a podcast for a long time. Well, stop talking about it and just do it. Just go record the first episode. Maybe it's garbage. Maybe it's not. Maybe you think it's garbage. Maybe someone else thinks it's gold. So just go try it. And if you can't do it all in-house, go find someone like Adam and Relic, and they can certainly help you. Or come talk to the folks that are already doing it. I think the one thing I've really been blown away by in this industry is how generous everyone is in terms of sharing and collaborating. And even though we're technically competing in a lot of ways, it doesn't feel like that. Everyone's so generous at sharing what's working for them. And so anyone that's doing podcasting, come pick their brain and ask them how they got over the hurdles and the barriers. But just do it. Be fearless. Go try it.
Yep. Be brave.
What do you mean be brave? Tell me more there.
Well, you know, like Stuart said, just don't be afraid to fail. Just, you know, the worst, I love that too. The worst that can happen is that no one listens, and then you're in the same spot,
yeah,
you were when you started.
Yeah.
You can only go up from there.
Well, and that's why you shouldn't worry about your first few episodes sucking, because guess what? Nobody's listening anyway to the first few episodes.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Real quick from both of you, then we'll take a couple questions from the audience. A short statement about what's next for your podcasts.
I think more of, like I mentioned earlier, of, you know, drawing the people out, getting the, you know, the people in the destinations. I've also thought about doing you know, sprinkling some episodes in there of like an outsider's view of North Alabama, because we have a lot of people who move and, well, we have a new Orion Amphitheater, which is amazing in Huntsville. It's so awesome. I saw Dave Matthews not long ago. It was so amazing. side note. But, the guy, Ben Lovett from Mumford & Sons, is the brainchild behind that. And then the general manager of the amphitheater also is not from North Alabama. So I'm trying, you know, working on an episode with getting them on just to talk about, why did you choose this destination? And so then that way other people who are outside, you know, because sometimes people hear Alabama and they're like, oh, Alabama, you know, and they're like, it's amazing. Just come and visit us. It is so beautiful. But then to hear outsiders say, this is why I chose it. Because naturally, I grew up in North Alabama, moved away, but came back. But naturally, I'm going to say that because I'm from there. But when you have people who are, you know, outsiders, so to speak, say, this is amazing. Yeah. It means more.
I'm excited to hear those episodes. Yeah. How about you, Stuart?
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning process for us. We just launched our first podcast. Like I said, we got four or five more in the hopper, as well as YouTube channels and TV shows, movies, even a children's book. So we're really embracing branded entertainment across every medium, every format. And our goal is to really become a lifestyle brand. We don't think just being a destination is enough in today's world. We've got to compete for attention in a different way. And so how do we connect with people? How do we become a part of the DNA and a part of their mind, body, and soul? You know, so we're really looking at a very deep psychological level, like what motivates people and where, how do people connect, and trying to figure out how do we sort of hack that in a way that's, you know, valuable to them, but also builds an audience that over time becomes interested in Myrtle Beach. So, it's going to be a fun journey. And I said, when I took the job, I was like, this is going to be a fun ride. I think we're going to shake some things up in the DMO space and, change some perceptions of what a DMO can do. And I'm either going to be successful or I'm going to get fired trying, because I'm relentless. And the good thing is I have a secret weapon. I was actually on our board of directors before I became an employee. So I've sort of got this weird relationship with my board of directors where they've given me pretty much carte blanche for the first year and probably for the second year, where they're like, that seems like a crazy idea, but we trust you. You got this. So I've had some latitude that I don't think everyone's afforded, which is very fortunate. But I think we're gonna surprise a few people. Yeah, we're shooting a TV show right now. Like I'm missing the shoot because I'm here. So we're doing some crazy stuff, but it's fun.
Thanks for the sacrifice of being here. I appreciate both of you joining me here, and I'm excited to be a part of the future of both of your shows. I want to take a couple of questions. Do we have time? Are we okay?
Yep. We have a couple minutes for some questions.
Okay. We've got a heckler over here. Are you asking a question or heckling?
So, Stuart, if you're willing to share, mm-hmm. You have an interesting plan that I know of that is built to lift the personalities that you're creating through your integrated strategy. Are you willing to share with the audience that strategy of how you're going to build up these moms and some of the YouTube personalities through some of your other efforts?
Yeah, I've got to be careful. Some of this is still confidential, but I think we as marketers tend to sort of get monolithic in our thinking. We think about, okay, here's our podcast strategy and here's our paid media strategy and here's our social strategy. And really what we're trying to do is look at this as all those, these are different pieces of a bigger puzzle. And so the podcasts are tied to the YouTube channels, are tied to the TV shows, are tied to the children's books and whatnot, and the characters we're creating and some other crazy stuff. But, I'll give an example. So Myrtle Beach is known as, for a lot of things, some good, some not so good, but mostly good. But one of them things we're not really known for is the food, the culinary scene, right? So we're known for seafood buffets and pancake houses, and we have those. But we also have like 60-plus unique nationalities represented in cuisines. We've got over 2,000 restaurants. Like there's a really vibrant, up-and-coming foodie scene. So what we try to do is look at how do we elevate that? So we're looking at like awards and things, but we're like, let's swing for the fences. So the TV show we're recording right now, it's going to be on the Cooking Channel in the fall. And we have a celebrity chef who I can't mention that's a judge on Chopped is going to be a part of that show. And, we also put two local people as judges on that show who are connected to the food scene. One is a chef that's been around for a long time, and the other one is a food critic that's been around and loves the Myrtle Beach market. So those two people are now getting this elevated platform on national TV. Well, we've taken both of those two. They're hosting their own YouTube shows. And then we're doing another spinoff TV show that's going to, we're not sure if it's going to be on TV or YouTube yet, but they're going to be a host to that. And then one of them's also going to do a podcast. And all of the content is sort of laddering up together so that we elevate with the national exposure, these people, they get credibility in an audience, and then we leverage that audience to get more awareness for other shows. So you should not look at my whiteboard in my office. It's crazy. It's like, yeah.
I think we have one more question.
So when launching on a new platform, I manage social media as well. One factor that we pay particular interest in is cadence. How do we, you know, present this? How many are we releasing per week? How can we plan to have content released in a timely manner? Is there any particular method or cadence that you come up with when, you know, taking on podcasts?
So if you don't mind, I'll take that one. The real thing that I would tell you is that it's so much easier to add than it is to subtract. When you set audience expectations with a cadence and then you miss your release date, they think the show failed or went out of business or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would start light and increase as opposed to starting heavy, realizing it's too much and then pulling back. There's not a specific cadence that is the correct cadence. Consistency is the critical part of this. So you set audience expectations and you can over-deliver on those expectations, but you cannot under-deliver.
Yeah, and I would double down on that because I would definitely start further apart than closer together. Weekly is aggressive and it's hard to do. So unless you've got a bunch of episodes in the can, I would caution you against starting weekly. What we found with the Fuel podcast was 2 weeks seemed to be the sweet spot in terms of what we could manage and what would keep the audience. When we went to 3 weeks, sometimes you'd see a dip for a couple of episodes in the audience numbers. So we would go to, occasionally we'd do an extra bonus one in between if we had enough content. But I think Adam's exactly right. I think you don't want to be inconsistent. If you're inconsistent, then you're going to lose audience. And the way that a lot of the podcast players work is things that you're listening to more frequently are going to show up at the top, and stuff that you stop listening to gets buried and you lose it into like the abyss. Because everyone has more podcasts they're subscribed to than they can physically listen to. So there's always some that drop down. So when you start being inconsistent, that's when you start losing audience. So I would encourage to start bi-weekly, but if you can, that would be my advice.
We do bi-weekly, and I find that that's very, with a team of one, it's very manageable for me. So
weekly is ideal, but it's hard. It's really hard.
I know they're going to cut us off here. So if you would like to feature your destination on the Destination Marketing Podcast and talk about something really unique you're doing, come find me. We've got a studio right across the hall we'll be recording in. And we really appreciate Stuart and Malia. And thanks to eTourism Summit for allowing us to be here. This has been really great.